step into the water. You know, there's the song, Step Into the Water, Wade In a Little Bit Deeper. You don't have to wade in a little bit deeper, because in Joshua, they stepped into the water and the water stopped and the Israelites crossed on dry land. The fact of the matter is, they had to believe God. The Jordan River was in flood stage at that point. Who's going to say we can cross the river in flood stage? I was in Rockton this afternoon, and I'm looking at the river in Rockton. You know, it's within about this far of the bridge, the bottom of the bridge, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure I really want to go over that. Oh, ye of little faith. But the fact of the matter is, we don't look at the river flooding like that and say, okay, step into the water. Are you kidding me? Now, I did see a bunch of guys fishing along there today. It made me wish I would have brought my fishing rod. I don't even know how to fish a river anyway, so give me a lake any day. Joshua was the new leader of Israel. God had to establish Joshua before the children of Israel. And God said to Joshua, Joshua, here's what's going to happen. You're going to take those priests. Those priests are going to walk here. They're going to step into the water, and the water's going to back up. You're going to cross over on dry land. And what it did is really authenticated Joshua's ministry, didn't it? The people all knew that this was God's man, and he was chosen of God. Joshua stepped into it and said, let's do this. We're going to do this. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up upon a heap. Can you imagine what would happen if God said, okay, Heritage Baptist, you need to cross the river over here. And as soon as the deacons put their foot in the water, the water's going to back up. Boy, the people upstream would be worried about that, wouldn't they? Woo-hoo! I've seen the water coming really high in some places. I was out by Freeport. I came through Freeport this afternoon. And when I was on my way to Shannon Baptist on Saturday, there were roads that I went over, and there was debris on the road from the water running over the roads there. Boy, you know what? But I just knew that God had called me to come up here and preach anyway, and I said, well, that's okay, it's dry now, I can go through. But God touched the water away before I got there. And I'll tell you right now, if the water would have been going over the road, I'd have gone through it. Because God didn't tell me, put your feet into the water and I'll dry it up. God said, Bob, don't be stupid. You know, there's a difference between faith in the promises of God and stupidity. I have met people who say, you just have to believe God for this. But it didn't happen. But if God leads you, then you need to step into the water. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 8, therefore we're always confident, knowing that we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You can't walk according to what you see in this world. What the world is going to show you oftentimes will be deceptive. What the world will show you oftentimes is going to be false. You put your faith in the promises of God and put your faith in the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. It's always true. I had a young person who said, well, what do we do about all this LGBT stuff? What do we do about same-sex marriage? I mean, do we just let that be? I said, no, if we get the Supreme Court, we could overturn it. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. They're saying, well, I don't know, it's going to cause a lot of problems. Maybe it is. I look at the state of Illinois, and, you know, God is not blessing what's happening in the state of Illinois. Now, God is blessing individual Christians in the state of Illinois in many ways. Many of you have been blessed of God in the last year. I know people that have gotten jobs in the last year. But it wasn't because of Illinois' policies, was it? Paul takes it and he says, this is why we're willing to be absent from the body, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, there's a reason why Jesus didn't have his own tomb. He had a borrowed tomb because he was only going to use it for 3 days. He knew that. God knew that. He told the disciples that he was going to rise again in 3 days, but they didn't believe it. And in 3 days, they came to the tomb and it was empty. Joseph of Arimathea had his tomb back. You know, I love walking into that garden tomb and seeing where they carved out for the feet for a man who was taller than the tomb was originally made for. Isn't that great? I love it too, because when it talks about the stone was rolled away, it talks about it being lifted up away. It wasn't just rolled away. It was lifted up away. And you know, to me, it's just exciting because I just love knowing that Jesus rose from the dead. My grandson, who's now 15, trusted Christ as his Savior when he was 2 years old. They came home from church one Sunday night. And he was having prayers with his mommy. His mommy and daddy prayed for his salvation every time they prayed. And he said, I pray for mommy and daddy's salvation. Jeff said to him, Logan, you don't have to pray for mommy and daddy's salvation. Mommy and daddy are saved already. He said, well, mommy, Logan is saved too. She said, what makes Logan saved? He said, Logan believes in Jesus as his Savior. She said, well, Logan, what did Jesus do for you? He said, mommy, Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins. And mommy, Jesus isn't dead anymore. He's alive and he's in heaven. From the mouth of a 2-year-old. You know, and he's been just... Yeah, he still is. He prayed that God would give him a baby brother, and he got his baby brother when he was 8 years old. And from the day that he got his baby brother until the day his brother trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he prayed for his brother every day that his brother would trust Christ as his Savior. Every kid ought to have a brother like that, right? I thank God for that. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for Logan. I'm going to ask you to pray that God would lead him and direct him. He's 15 years old. He's gone on 3 summer missions trips already. And he loves missions. He knows how to witness. He was in a non-denominational Christian school, and he came home. We're coming home from school, and he said, Papa, can somebody who believes you lose their salvation, can they be saved? He said, well, if they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, what did God give me? He said, eternal life. I said, well, can you lose it? Then he said, no, you can't. So he was on the playground one day, and one of the guys in his class said, well, if you commit suicide, you can't go to heaven. So he said, Zach, how many sins did Jesus pay for? He said, all of them. He said, did he pay for suicide too? Interesting, huh? He said, well, Zach, he said, what did God give you? He said, eternal life. He said, well, if you lose it, is it eternal? We said, well, you can give it back to God. No, you can't. Jesus said, of all that the Father has given me, I shall lose nothing. No man can pluck you out of my hand. You can't even pluck yourself out of God's hand. Isn't that great? I was talking about it with the folks that I was staying with this weekend from Shannon, and we're talking just about the wonder of it. Because, you see, I read a story many years ago about a woman who had married a man, and when she married him, he started making a list for her of everything she had to do every day. And every day he'd come home and check the list to make sure she did everything. After a few years, he passed away, and she met another Christian man. She just fell madly in love with him, and they were married for a number of years, and one day she was up in the attic, cleaning the attic, and she found the list from her first husband, and she looked at it and said, I'm doing everything on the list, but I don't even know that I'm doing it because I love my husband so much. You see, love will motivate you. Security will motivate you. You think my wife is going to do better as a wife if I come home every day and say, if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to divorce you? Or if she feels confident in my love? When you feel confident in God's love, you're going to do so much better. I think that sometimes preachers want to scare people into thinking they can lose their salvation because they're afraid that people won't live the Christian life otherwise. You know, what is it that constrains you to talk to people about Christ? It's the love of Christ that constrains me. You know, the more I love Jesus Christ, the more I'm going to talk about Him. We talked about stepping into the water, and I want to tell you right now, missions is going to start at home. Because you need to step into the water. There are times that you're talking to somebody and you feel like, you know, I really should share the gospel with them. Well, then do it. Why don't we do it? Because we're more concerned about ourselves and our own feelings. And we're worried and we're afraid. Well, I might look stupid. I might not know the answers to everything. You know, my grandson was 12, came back from his first mission trip, and I went to the Y with him, and he's playing basketball while I'm doing my exercises and everything. And I come in there, and he's playing basketball with a graduate student from India, and he's witnessing to a guy who is a Hindu. And the guy's asking him questions. He said, I don't know anything about Hinduism. He said, but I'll find out and get answers for you. I like that. He was willing to step into the water. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about witnessing. He said, Papa, he said, you don't have to help me with this. He said, I know all of your opening lines already. Now, you know, praise God has given him a very sharp mind. He has a photographic memory. He doesn't just remember everything he reads. He also remembers everything he hears. So I pray that God will protect his mind as well. I have a friend who started a church a couple of years ago. He looked at this little town in Missouri, and he said, you know, there's one little Methodist church in this town, and they have 13 people there on Sunday. This church, this town, is the gospel-preaching church. He's got anywhere from 30 to 40 people a week there now. But he's working, and he's working at it. He's also a coach for basketball for junior high kids, and so every Thursday morning, he has a Bible study for all the coaches. I appreciate that. When the city has something that's going on or something that needs to be fixed, he asks for volunteers from the church to come and help. The whole town knows that the church is helping with things. More people show up from the church to fix things than people from the town. The mayor has been coming to church. You know, God is good. But you need to step into the water. You know, it's a big deal to maybe decide, I'm going to go out and start a church. You started a church. What do you have to do? Just step into the water, right? You just go out and do it. If God lays it on your heart to share the gospel with somebody, understand, there's a reason for that. God's probably at work in their hearts and lives as well. This morning I woke up early. I was up at 5:30 this morning and I said, you know what, I can just as well get ready to go. And you know, I took my shower and got ready to go and had breakfast and off I went on down the road and I said, you know, I'm going to go past a business that's owned by a former state representative today. And I'm going to stop in there and see who's there. I walked in. He wasn't there. He said, oh, he's hardly ever here. I gave him my card and I said, tell him an old friend stopped by to say hello. 3 minutes later, I get a telephone call from him and said, well, he said, where are you preaching tonight? I said, Heritage Baptist. He said, well, I suppose I could come out there. I said, well, you know, and I wanted to share the gospel with him. So I thought, you know, it's a lot better to share the gospel with him one-on-one than to have a whole church full of people to talk to, and I can't talk to him. And so I said, well, how about meeting for coffee? He said, well, I'm on my exercise bike right now, and I'm sopping wet with sweat. But I'll tell you what, 4 miles down the road, there's a McDonald's. Go over there, I'll meet you over there for coffee. And we started talking. And you know, he's a man who's been very appreciative of everything that I've done with lobbying with him. And he's come into some of our Bible studies and stuff. But I know that he'd never trust Christ as his Savior. Why do I want to talk to him? Because I love him. I don't want to stand before God when Jim comes up there to stand before God and God said, I never knew you, depart from me. I don't want to see that. I want Jim to be in heaven. He said, what do you want to talk to me about? I said, Jim. I said, you're a guy that I really love and respect, and I really want to see you in heaven someday. He said, well, I hope to be there. Away we go, you know. When you say that to people, most people say, well, I'd like to be in heaven. Now, I did have a guy over here in Rockton today who told me, well, I'll probably come back in another form of life. I said, well, that's Hinduism. I said, that's crazy. It's not going to work. You're going to go one place or the other. And by the time we got done talking, he said, well, I don't want to go to hell. I don't think he's trusted Christ. But we certainly planted seeds today. You know, if you really love people, they will be willing to listen to you while you share the gospel with them. I don't share the gospel with people because it's my duty and I have to do it. No. I share the gospel with people because I love them and I want them to be in heaven. I don't know. I don't remember if I shared in your church the story of a state legislator who several weeks before they voted on same-sex marriage told me, I don't want to vote yes on same-sex marriage. I want to be a no. The bill came up for a vote and he was a yes. I ran into him the next morning in the tunnels at the Capitol and I said, Representative, I missed your no vote yesterday. And he stood there. He kind of looked down at the floor and he kind of scraped his foot around the floor. He said, Reverend Bob, I was wrong yesterday and how I voted, I couldn't sleep all night last night. And you know, that's been just sitting in the back of my mind. And so I started going to churches and telling that story and asking people to pray for me. Well, I was out of the session for 6 weeks because of my hip surgery, because the doctors wouldn't let me travel that far. They said, no, there's too much of a chance of a blood clot. Okay, I can accept that. You know, if I die, I can't tell people about Christ anyway. So I said, okay. So the 6 weeks were up, and I went back to Springfield, and I'm still walking with the cane then because I only had one hip done. The other hip was also bad. I didn't know how bad it was. The doctor told me, once you get the first hip fixed, you're going to find out the second hip is really bad too. Said, you're going to have to get that replaced too. Okay, well, we'll take one step at a time. So we got the bad hip done, the worst hip done first, and I walked for 3 months with a cane afterwards. But I went to Springfield, and I'm walking around the Capitol with a cane, and I knew that I needed to talk to this state representative. So what do? Step into the water. I showed up at his office almost every morning the last week of session. He always had somebody in his office with him. So the second to the last day of session, I was there, and he came out of his office, and he said, well, you can walk with me to the Capitol. I said, I walk with the cane, and I walk way slower than you. It's not going to work. He said, talk to my secretary. We'll set up an appointment. I said, okay. And his secretary said to me when he left, he said, I can't believe he did that because we don't even know what the schedule is. He said, what do you want to talk to him about? Well, I miss you as a Christian. I said, his soul. He said, oh, good. And so, you know, what happened is, she said, come back at 4:30. I came back at 4:30. They were on the floor debating bills. So she called him while he was on the floor and he said, send him over. I'll meet him in the rotunda as soon as I'm done voting. So I go out over there. There's no place to talk to people privately. We're standing in the middle of the rotunda, and he comes out, and he said, Reverend Bob, what did you want to talk to me about? I said, your soul. Oh, okay. I said, I just want to tell you, Representative, most people think you're a pretty hard person, but you have a really tender heart. I said, what made you say that? I said, remember the conversation we had about same-sex marriage? He said, I do. I said, that tells me that your heart is very tender yet. And I said, can I ask you a personal question? He said, sure. I said, do you know where you're going when you die? He said, yeah, I think I'd go to heaven. I said, well, if you stood before God and God said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? He said, I've helped a lot of people in my life. Now, this doesn't work all the time, so don't, you know, you do what God leads you to do. I said, can I tell you what the Bible says about that? He said, sure. I went, He said, well, what is it then? I said, okay, I want to ask you some personal questions. But you already know most of these answers because I knew he was raised Catholic, Irish Catholic in Chicago. Not Irish Catholic, Roman Catholic. He was Italian Catholic. And I said, when Jesus died on the cross, how many of your sins did he pay for? He said, all of them. I said, he paid for all of them. How many would that leave you to pay for? So we went through John 3. God so loved the world, you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, he's a whosoever, I'm a whosoever believeth in him, the word believe means trust, depend, rely on. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have, present tense, right now, everlasting life. You know, we got through, he trusted Christ as his Savior, and he looked at me and he said, Reverend Bob, why did you wait so long to tell me this? I want to tell you, step into the water, because there are going to be lots of people out there that you think are too hard and won't ever listen to the gospel. You share the gospel with them. I want to tell you right now, I'm not perfect. But you and I, every one of us, need to be willing to step into the water. Missions starts right here with you, 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 you. Don't wait for a missionary to go out and do it. God lays it on your heart to share the gospel with somebody, you share. You start praying. Praying for your friends and praying that God would show you. And if you feel like you need to share the gospel with somebody, do it! Because if you don't do it, who's going to? How shall they hear without a preacher? God wants to send you. Your mission field may be right here. But you have a mission field like I have a mission field. Like you have a mission field. And every one of us called to a different mission field. And you will talk to people that I will never see in my life. You will talk to people that your pastor will never see in his life. Step into the water. I like it. Step into the water. The water's gone. You know, you need to take a step of faith. I need to take a step of faith. The Bible says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith in the promises of God that Jesus Christ paid it all for you on the cross of Calvary. How do you walk then? By faith. Trusting the promises of God. God told the disciples, open your mouth and I'll fill it. We stand there and go, I can put myself in that we. And far too often in my own life I've seen that too. But if you open your mouth and you're willing to start talking, God will give you the words. See, I don't have to get the evangelism. God doesn't say you have to have the gift of evangelism to witness to people. He expects every Christian to witness. And to share the wonderful thing that God loves you. God loves your friends. God loves your family. God loves your neighbors. God loves your co-workers so much that he sent Jesus Christ into this world. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for your great love. and that it was manifest in Jesus Christ coming to this earth, dying and paying our sin debt so we could have eternal life through faith in Him. Lord, help each of us to have the faith to step into the water. Jesus' name.